Hope you're doing well out there. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for spending some time listening to us. On the program today, we have Katie Maras, a best-selling author, who's going to talk to us about what she sees versus what he sees at a car dealership, and in general, just customer experiences. It's a wonderful talk. She's a fantastic speaker. I hope you'll enjoy it. I hope your holidays were good, and thanks for listening. Please, perhaps, hit the subscribe button however you're listening to this. Welcome to the Inside Track presented by Call Review. All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Inside Track presented to you by Call Review. Hopefully, we have some conversations here that you find engaging, interesting, maybe funny. A lot of times it's about the automotive industry, but not always, just so we're clear. Our hope is to give you some conversations that apply outside the automotive industry as well. The kind of things, you know, like if your BFF pings you at work and says, hey, I really want to talk about, you know, remote work. We're going to talk about those. Let's get into it. So today we have an amazing guest. We couldn't be more excited to welcome this guest. Best-selling author, speaker, and all-around amazing and inspiring human, which, by the way, you can use that for your next book to our guest, Amazing and Inspiring Human. Katie Maras, the book is now available on Amazon. It's entitled Custom Her Experience, The Importance of Tailoring Your Brand Experience to the Female Consumer. Katie, welcome. Excited to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome.
And I love it. Inspiring, amazing human. Like, I should just write
that. That's right.
With, yeah. I do these positive I am statements for my daughters every morning on their mirror in the bathroom, and it changes every day. And I'm gonna write that on my own mirror. I'm gonna take that.
That was right off the cuff. It was no ChatGPT here. And of course, my co-host and senior director of sales enablement at Call Review, Mr. Eric Glass. Some would say he's the wizard behind the curtain. Timely reference for those of you who've seen Wicked. Fantastic movie, I just want to say. No shortage of opinions on the topic at hand, right, Mr. Glass?
Correct, Kurt, yes.
All right.
I don't know if I would, I'm just going to go with producer, not so much co-host, but that's fine.
Okay, you look that's a little bit like Jeff Goldblum, so we're on brand here.
Right, perfect.
So look, a couple months ago, we were at the Drive-Centric event. I just want to set this up for those of you who perhaps don't know. Look, let's be really honest right here. When you go to a lot of different events, by the way, Drive-Centric event specifically was great. But you go to a lot of events during the year, you see a lot of speeches, a lot of, you know, monologues, TED Talks, however you want to phrase it, presentations. Every now and then, somebody truly and genuinely, no hyperbole, stands out. Their message is clear. They're charismatic. It's interesting. There's data to back it up. It's concise. Because a lot of times, let's face it, you see a presentation, you forget about it a week later. That's just being honest. That's right. But this one was truly like, I remember hitting Eric and be like, all right, we got to talk to her. She's amazing. This is incredible. That's where we met you, Katie.
Yes.
I want, for those that don't know, can you tell us the basis of that presentation and your story, where it begins and what we're going to talk about today?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, I mean, the short of it, I should say, is that female consumers and your internal customers, the females that are working for you, they rule the world. And what does that mean? We hold the purse strings to the economy. By 2028, women will control, not influence, control 75% of discretionary income around the world. And so if you haven't focused on the female consumer and your female employees as a opportunity to make more money, then you are missing out. And this came about because I had really awful car buying experiences like 7 years ago. And it's funny because I was sitting at breakfast with one of your associates actually here in Toronto. He was in, so we had breakfast, and he was telling me about someone he knew. She was 27 years old that went in to purchase a vehicle like recently, like 3 weeks ago, and was asked, is your dad with you? And I'm sorry, but you know, 7 years ago, this happened to me, and it was dad, husband. I'm like, I'm a single mom. That's not happening. I'm buying the vehicle. But that was 7 years ago. Fast forward to 3 weeks ago, and we're still having the same dang conversation. Yeah. The reality is women out-purchase men in new vehicles. So 65%. If you're not paying attention to her, you are losing.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. How bad was it? What do you say in the moment? Because I think people connect to the real stories, right? So we're back in this, like, you're going out to look for a car 7 years ago. What happens in the moment when these terrible scenarios happen? Do you walk out? Do you get mad? Is it a combination?
No, literally, I walk out. Like, I walked in with my three kids. Unfortunately, they didn't listen to my please, please, please behave speech in the back of the vehicle. But no, they made a mad beeline dash for the dealership doors, and in they went, and they all separated, went into three different cars. I finally wrangled them up into one, and a gentleman, just saunters over. It was sort of like out of a slow motion picture. He totally did not want to serve me. He did not want to see how I was doing. His eyes were darting between me and the kids in the car. He reaches out his hand. He introduces himself and he asks if my husband is there. And I said, no. And I gave him a chance. I said, no, I'm purchasing the vehicle. It's for me. And he cuts me off. He said, well, should you call him? Like, will he be coming in? And at that moment, I was like, kids, let's go. I wrapped them up, put them in the vehicle. And unfortunately, that happened six more times.
Just over and over. It just keeps
over. And not just, brands like, and not just volume brands, yeah, luxury right. brands. I wasn't quite in the ultra luxury section, but the luxury brands and the sure. volume brands were all the same.
Well, and I, look, I, you're presenting this data that obviously backs, hey, this will help your sales. But just from a human point of view, like, that's a gas. It's a repugnant behavior. What are we doing? What are we doing to begin with? So after that initial, horrific experience of not just an anomaly over and over and over again, is that when you decide I want to change this? I want to write a book. Is that the moment? Like, what's the spark for you to be like, I'm going to start writing about this?
Well, yeah. So, I'm a customer experience expert, and I say this all the time. No one's really an expert in anything because we have to learn and grow consistently and constantly. Yes. But I know a thing or two about designing customer experiences, coaching, training, and then executing these experiences. I was part of the team that brought the Forbes 5-star rating to the cruise industry. So when I say I'm an expert, I know a thing or two. And so it really bothered me that a human's second largest purchase they ever make in their life is a crappier experience than a $7 latte. Like, it bothered me. Yeah. I was like, how can I go to Starbucks and feel, and I use the word feel special to spend $7 and then go to buy a, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 vehicle and be made to feel like I'm not capable of buying my own vehicle? It was ridiculous. So there was this it bothered me. So I went down the research rabbit hole, which is what I do. I like everything to be backed up by facts, and I needed to know if what I thought was right and if there was indeed an opportunity in this industry with some low-hanging fruit to elevate the experience and inspire change. And oh my gosh, the things I found were just incredible. And I said, yeah, let's go. So I created a keynote, and I applied to speak at Women in Automotive, Digital Dealer, SEMA, NADA. You name the conference. I applied and I spoke. And then from there, I started writing articles. And then from the articles, the book developed and Custom Her Experience came to life.
That's awesome. When you're speaking, before you get to the book, right? When you're speaking, could you see the immediate impact? And we're going to get into what dealerships can do, how they should approach it. And we'll give people some actionable insights. It's one of my favorite corporate words, Katie Maris, actionable insights. But when you're first doing the keynote, can you see in the audience that you're having an effect right away? Kind of in the way that happened to us at DriveCentric. So you really even knew it resonated. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You see the light bulbs go off in their eyes. Like, huh? Like, I didn't think about it like that. And oh my gosh, I'm missing out. And because of how I okay, let's be real.
Yes.
90% of who I'm speaking to are men. Mm-hmm. So I know that I need to deliver this message in a way that men are going to receive it. So I can't be a woman that comes in and says, I am woman, hear me roar, I'm amazing, because I'm going to get the eye rolls. And then, you know, they're just going to completely blank it over. So I delivered in a way with statistics, with facts and figures. It affects your top line. It definitely impacts your bottom line. And also, by the way, and I dropped this bomb, from a customer experience point of view, 79% of your customers are leaving you based off of experience alone, based off the way you make them feel. And so when you drop those statistics, you see the light bulbs immediately go off, and they don't feel like they're being attacked, like, oh, men are bad. And, you know, I think y'all are amazing. And I think that there's place for both of us on this earth. But I do think we need to wake up and start delivering a human experience to the world's most influential consumer.
How much do you find still? And I think I find it fascinating that 3 weeks ago, a mutual acquaintance of ours had an experience like this, right, in 2024. And you and I talked a lot in St. Louis. You know, I've been not broken, but I've been off the market since I was 16, right? That's when my wife and I met, and we're still together. You know, and I'm 43, so we can do the math there. I'm much, much older than I look. But I find it super interesting. How receptive do you find dealers to this message? And how do you overcome some of those objections that you might run into?
Yeah. So, to be real, since COVID has come and gone, there is a much more open and receptive dealer body group out there, because it's not easy to sell anymore. There's a lot of competition. Everybody is doing the same thing, right? The make, the models, financing rates, your offers, your leasing rates. I mean, if you give away free oil changes or whatever it is, free maintenance for a year, it's all the same across the board. So the only differentiator are your humans serving the human customers that are coming in to shop. So I actually find right now, this last year has been super, I mean, every dealer I talk to is extremely receptive. And what's beautiful is, because I am a customer experience expert, when I do work with dealers, it's not just the female consumer. We actually look at the entire customer journey. We look at the entire ownership journey, and we bake in the female consumer in each touch point. Okay, so how do we elevate this for her while overlooking your entire experience, so that you're teaching, coaching, training your team to keep your customers based off of making them feel special?
Right.
Sure. So by the way, katiemaris.com, for those of you who want to check it out, when you are, you know, hired as a consultant or whatnot at a dealership, what is the first thing you try to get them to understand or overcome? Like, how do you change their mindset immediately? Even if they're receptive, what's usually the first go-to you go with, as far as like, look at it this way, or, you know, what's the step?
To be honest?
Yes.
Okay. I become one of them. I become a team member. And that's so important. I get to know the ins and the outs of what they believe in. I sit in there. Danielle Delgado calls it their gap of crap, which is all their excuses. You know, I sit with them in it. And then I take each excuse and throw it aside, and we work through it together. And because I'm part of the team, the buy-in is almost immediate. Like, I don't have an issue with buy-in, and I don't really have objectives or objections. The only objection I have ever is, well, I'm busy being busy, right? Which is in your gap of crap. It's your excuses that you're making. And the other one is, you know, it's the who moved my cheese. Like, I don't want to do anything different. But eventually, it takes a little bit of time, but eventually every single person is on board. And we see increases in CSI like no other.
Yeah, that challenge, you were talking about different types there of somebody who's usually unwilling to change. you know, again, as we talk about this, even outside of the automotive industry, it's a constant conversation I have with Eric and other professionals, is finding someone who's open-minded to change is really, it seems rare at times, but if you can show them over time the results and how things will get different.
Yeah, I'm also extremely picky on who I allow, like who I work with.
Okay.
So right. I won't work with anybody that's not ready to change, because it's a waste of their money and it's a waste of my time.
So how do you deduce that? Sorry, I was trying. How do you deduce whether they're ready?
My exact question is, how do you, they're almost, and the way I remember how you kind of explained this to me a little bit, but they're almost, not that you're going out and we're looking for work for them. You're actually taking applications to work with you. Mm-hmm. So you have almost
5 clients a year. That's it.
Flip the script entirely on the way normal companies would go and get business, which is, mm-hmm. was fascinating to me.
So how do I deduce it? Well, my program's a year long. It's, I love it. Celebrity Cruises. Yes, that is the company I worked with. That's awesome. It's year long. So the commitment factor, if they hum and haw over the year long, one bite of the elephant at a time commitment factor, then I know 100% it's a waste, because they, you cannot make a change that quickly. It takes time. It also takes effort, consistent effort. So that's the number one. I'm not cheap, you know? So if you're willing to put your money where your mouth is and you're willing to work hard in that year long process, then I also know, you know, it depends on how they negotiate, you know, oh, well, just come in for, you know, one day, and oh, I don't want to do, well, if you're not willing to do the A through Z, then it's a waste. I can come and hype your team up. I'm happy to be a speaker and come in and do a rah-rah, but you're not going to see the change. If there's any consultant or vendor out there that says, yes, this is going to do it, it's just not. It really is a bit of an interviewing process. And it is the fact that the reason I do it is because I don't want to waste people's time or money. And I want to affect positive, actionable change. If I just take any client, then I'm doing the industry and their team a disservice. And I believe in giving more value than what you pay for something. I believe in tailoring every single experience I give to my clients to them, just as I teach them to do for their customers. And that takes time, and that takes effort, and that takes personalization. I have daily touch bases, daily. I have weekly and biweekly calls. It is intensive, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, that I would imagine it's very rewarding from a variety of standpoints, especially because of your background. As you want a personal experience when you're out buying a car or buying something, you're giving that to them in your own business, but the other way around, like they're getting the real ROI from what you do. Is there anything, obviously it takes a long time to change, but just basic concepts a dealership can start to put together now, today, to start changing, you know, approaching the female buyer as it were?
Yeah, take a visit to the bathroom.
Okay.
Women's washroom.
Right. Just right now, go.
Go see it from her point of view. Take the females in your dealership, give them a budget and the dealership credit card, send them to Target. And as a group, allow them to spruce up that bathroom. You're going to do 2 things. You're going to tell them that they matter. We're actually going to do 3 things. You're going to tell them that they matter. You're going to give them a chance to bond and be heard. And then third, you're going to improve the experience instantly for a couple $100 for your female customers as well as your female employees.
Yeah, that's good for sure. Dude, nobody wants a dirty bathroom.
No, okay. But they are also, I was speaking at the London, Porsche London Center a couple of months ago in London. And I walked in just before, you know, the stage was beautiful, set out in the middle of all these Porsches. And I'm like, it's my dream car. So I'm manifesting that real bad. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, it's fantastic. Anyway, I go into the washroom, and it's a, you know, unisex washroom. So I go in, and oh my gosh, like, gentlemen, do y'all not know how to aim? Like, the bottom white rubber mat was stained yellow. And I walk in, I'm like, what woman that's about to buy $100,000 vehicle wants to use a restroom where there's a stained white, yellow mat. Like, the bathroom makes a huge difference. And a lot of times, unfortunately, I mentioned we're busy being busy. So we don't slow down enough to see it from the customer's point of view. Sure. You know, I talk a lot, you know, the women in the audience, they'll always say yes. When you go to a hair salon and you get your hair washed and your view is up at the ceiling, it's usually dirty. There's usually water stains. There's usually a burnt out light bulb. And it's not because these stylists don't care. They just never sit where the customer sits and they never look at it from the customer's point of view. So if you go into the restroom and see it from her point of view and you make those changes, or you sit in the F&I office, like sit on the other side of the desk. What does she see? What do your customers see? When you're walking, you know, and doing a dealership walk, you know, what does your customer see? Not what you see, because you're very eye level. You've mm-hmm. got things to do. As I said, you're busy being busy. What does your customer see? Have you stopped enough to smell the smells in your dealership? Feel the temperature? Have you sat in the waiting room and looked at it from that customer's eye level? The answer is most people have not. So slowing down enough and flipping the lens and sitting, most literally sitting in your customer's shoes, will make a huge improvement in elevating your experience.
And by the way, that is such an awesome, I just want to make sure we hit on it a little harder. For those, by the way, getting a lot of comments in the chat supporting this conversation, Katie, but it's a metaphor for life. View from the other point of view, right? Yep. It's a metaphor for life. You get so used to the norm, the regular cadence of your day to day that you never stop to think, oh, they see that or smell that or hear that, whatnot. And this could affect the relationship, the buying relationship for sure. I just want to point out, Katie, if it's a bad bathroom, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, but like exactly. Like who that tells you how these people, like how the employees are, that's what you care about. You know, it's so funny. I was working with, I guess not funny, but funny. I'm working with a, not from a customer experience standpoint, but I work with groups of women within dealership groups as well. And I was working and I have a group of women I'm, you know, I have a 6-month program with. Well, I was at the dealership, we were doing our in-person and I happened to go to the washroom and I was like, and I told the GM, okay, you know, there's some things you could do. We go back to working and I'm not even joking you, that washroom flooded like 3 minutes later. I said, well, now you have to pay attention to it.
Oh, no. 3 minutes later. Okay. In your book, you talk about the physiological differences between men and women. Yes. You talk about looking at why she buys.
Hit the toilet, not hit the toilet.
That's right. Why she buys versus why he buys. It's in the book. What do dealerships need to understand first and foremost when it comes to the female buyer outside of just looking at it from their point of view? Oh, what else?
Yeah. So the number one difference is our limbic brain, which is our emotional and memory hub of our brain. So a woman's limbic brain is almost double the size of a man's. It's deeper and wider. And so what does that mean? It means that she needs to, what she feels matters. Like it matters. How you make her feel matters. And I know we are in a predominantly male industry. And so feelings are not something we speak about all the time. But the reality is when she is shopping, she is falling in love with your brand. She physiologically is having the same chemical reactions when she's shopping as she is when she is falling in love. So serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin. Now, oxytocin is the bonding hormone, and that's the hormone that creates trust in relationships. If you can hit that, if you can make her fall in love to the point where she's bonded to you, you've got a customer for life. And it's so important to know that it's not utilitarian. It's not the point A to point B that, you know, men so, I mean, here's the thing. If you build it for him, you lose her. If you build it for her, you keep him because he will find a way, a path of least resistance that works for him and he doesn't care very much. She cares. So cast your experience net wide enough to make her feel differently while she is having an experience. The term, oh my gosh, I'm blanking here. Retail therapy. How did I blank on that one?
We talked about retail therapy, you and I specifically. Yes.
Retail therapy is a real deal for women. They don't go to just purchase something. They're not after the product. They're going for the feeling. And every woman you speak to will attest to this. They go and shop to be told that they look good in clothes, to laugh with the sales associate, to find something that fits them really well and makes them feel good. They're in it for the experience, for the feelings, for the journey. They're not in it for the purchase. So when it comes to purchasing a vehicle, yes, they know what they want. But the reality is your customers have already made their decision when they decide to walk into your dealership. When they're sitting and laying in bed with their partner, their significant other, and they should be communicating and having an experience and igniting oxytocin with their partner, which they're not doing, they are scrolling and they're researching. And so when they've decided to actually walk into your dealership, the only thing you have left to do is to create a relationship. That's it.
And if you don't, you're going to lose it.
You're going to lose them. It's harder to fall in love with someone else. Like it's not something, you know, you've been married for how many years, Eric? Could you imagine going on the dating scene? Like,
Gosh, can we do a second podcast about this?
We could. My wife has already, and I completely agree with her that if something were to happen to Melissa and I at this point, I would just, it'd be over. I wouldn't even bother. There'd be no reason to go find anybody else because 43. Right.
No. When you have an emotional connection, when that customer falls in love with your brand and your people, not only are they choosing you, mm-hmm. they're going to refer you. So women influence 3 to 4 generations of spending. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you want to fill your sales funnel, then get good at creating relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And certainly, you know, Eric, you know, I'm married. Every major conversation about money or something we're going to buy is my wife and I discussing it, going over it. But to your point, Katie, we go into dealership or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be automotive, but a big purchase. If one of us is turned off emotionally by the relationship, it's over. And it's like the brand loyalty is gone. It's not only that you can win one sale, mm-mm. you have a chance to get many, many sales just by being good at it and be like, you know what, let's go back there because I really like it. We go to this oil change place. We spend more money, and it's my wife will specifically tell you, I like going there. I like the way they specifically treat me. I would rather pay more money. Please don't go to another oil change place, Kurt. I'm like, okay, I'm on it. We're going to these guys.
Reason we bought our last 4 cars from the same Toyota dealership, right? Is because my wife likes the way they treat her. That's the end of it.
And my mentor always says, you know, his one of his key sayings is making price irrelevant. Like you can make price irrelevant with the experience you provide people. And if you are focusing on and in automotive, like it's crazy that we haven't made this shift yet. But when in a coupled relationship, a woman will influence 85% of all purchases, 85%. And then she's out purchasing men 65%. And that directly correlates to the service lane. So it doesn't stop just in sales. It goes over to where you retain your customers so that they come back through mm-hmm. to buy from you. That experience, so women will, it's 65 to 70% of all ROs are said yes to by women.
And yet, some people still aren't getting the message, obviously. I love the brand loyalty conversation. And if I could just shift gears a little bit, again, another corporate phrase I don't love to say, shift gears. Yeah. I want to talk about your sphere of influence and how you're influenced into buying. Who do you go, when you're going to buy a product, Katie, what's your sphere of influence these days? Like who's influencing you about brands you're looking into or products, not just automotive, anything. Where are you looking for influence? This is important for automotive people to hear as well.
Yeah. So women, and I don't know the exact stats, so I'm going to have to get it for you. Women and me being a woman, so I'm part of the statistic. We actually listen to or lean into the influencers online way more heavily than men. Mm-hmm. And if you have a social media strategy that is front and center, a woman that they can relate to, so they can see themselves in your business and in the dealership or in whatever business it is that you have, mm-hmm. she is more likely to come shop.
Yep.
Social media influencers are everything right now. They're literally everything.
I mean, I'm serious. I'm just like, yes, please sing the praises, Katie.
Well, but it is. And so if you can get your social media strategy to get your customer to see you, like you, and trust you before they even walk through the door, and then you can magically carry that experience, right. pick it up where it left off. Oh, you're going to win every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. The social media strategy and the influencers is very near and dear to my heart. I'm aware, and I want to acknowledge it, that a lot of people hear the term influencer. It turns them off for some reason, but it's the reality of the world. We're all being influenced by influencers. I'm part of a parent group in the neighborhood, and we talk about, like, you know, foods to buy, you know, classes to take, things to do. And it's all derived from influencers. Like, somebody likes someone, and it filters down. And I'm trusting those people more than traditional advertising. It's just the way it's going to go.
I think I had, just parlaying into that a little bit, like, I had this conversation the other day with a couple of the guys that I do a lot of the Twitch and YouTube stuff with. And even though, you know, they don't have like huge followings, they have, you know, averaging 20, 30 people a stream, they're still influencers, right? You're influencing somebody, and no matter how big or small your influencing group is, you're influencing somebody. So I had a quick question, Katie. How do you work with dealers to identify the influencers that would be best for their dealership? Or are you working with them to identify somebody that's already working there to come in and be that online person? Or do you find an agency that provides influencers to work with? Like,
yeah. So it would be, honestly, how I first of all, again, and I'm going to go back to the female point, you know,
yeah.
point, because it's really mm-hmm. important, because she wants to do business with businesses she sees herself in. So it's important to find, I think everybody, every sales associate, I mean, service advisors, fixed ops directors, anybody that touches a customer, anybody that speaks to a customer in person is an influencer. And I think that your strongest marketing is your people that are, your happy people that are out there singing your praises. And if you have women working for you, please get them online sharing their story, you know, sharing the story about how they love working for you, sharing their story of doing walkarounds, sharing the experience, you know, what they can expect when they come to the dealership. So to answer your question, they already have everything they need.
Got it.
And they should be using the people that are there, because, again, your people are the number one differentiator for everything now. Not the make, not the model, not the brand, not your leasing rates, not your financing rates, not your giveaways, none of that is. They come in and they have, these customers will come in and have five different dealerships they're ready to go, and they've ranked them 1 through 5. And if that, you know, we talk about in the automotive space, marketing, inventory and systems and processes, and we forget about the freaking human, right? Like, the human is everything in there. Mm-hmm. When you understand your customer and you're the human serving your customer, you'll get your inventory right. And hopefully the OEM cooperates and you have the right flow. And I get it, there's obstacles that you can't necessarily control. But when you have the right people working for you and you have happy customers, marketing is easy.
Yep.
It's easy. And your systems and processes, if that system and process line item doesn't include a brand experience playbook, then you're going to fail. You have to center it around people. And so when it comes to how I help dealerships, I say look internally, especially at the women. And the reality is, men trust women and women trust women. And so the more females you can put out on social media sharing their stories, and I had a dealership take this to an extreme as only a man could do this. But he said he's so proud. He messaged me, Katie, have you looked at our social media? It's not somebody I consulted with, just somebody that I had met. And he said, well, what's the one thing I can do? So I gave him the idea of the social media. I'm like, just take a woman that's working for you to use Carlot. Well, you can imagine what he did with this woman.
No.
I'm like, is this what you know? Women aren't going to come shop here when you do that. So I would caution you, because most men are making these decisions. So lean on the women and ask them, you know, what would they want to see? And don't go off of your natural gut instinct, because you'll probably be off and you'll probably deter people from coming into your dealership. But if you can get it right and have women at the forefront, both men and women will choose you.
Why do you think dealerships are still, when you hear that story or see that story, you know, you're seeing it in real time.
Yeah.
Why is that still happening in 2025? Like, what are we doing?
Because it's always worked. And why do we need to change? You know, it's the who moved my cheese business. If anybody listening to this and watching this, if you haven't read the book, Who Moved My Cheese, it's like this thick, it's super thin. You can read it in an hour. Great. Every single one of your leadership team should read it. You should read it. But change, I don't know, it scares people for some reason. It's like, oh, I have to make an effort. I have to dare to do differently.
That's it, right? I have to dare to do differently. Or even when talking to clients or customers, oh, you mean I've got to think about customer service and how I talk to someone rather than just get, because at COVID, everything's just coming in. It's so easy, easy money here, there, go. Now you've got to actually put forth a little bit more effort and a little bit more.
Well, I have this saying that if you you can't feed your history and your destiny at the same time.
Okay.
So if you focus on the past and what you've done in the past, you're starving your future.
Mm-hmm.
You have to focus on what's right now, what's happening relevantly, so that you can feed your destiny, your future, your success, and starve your history, because it's already happened. It's gone. The way of the world is done. You need to move forward. And unfortunately, success is on the other side of I don't feel like it. Nobody feels like going to the gym. Nobody feels like brushing their teeth. Nobody feels like grabbing the grapes instead of the chips, you know, because you have to, I had a girl, a woman, it's like, I want to get healthy, but it takes, you know, an extra 30 seconds to clean the grapes. So I grab the chips and I'm like, well, then you can't complain because you're on freaking autopilot. Like, come on now. Like, but it's that simple.
Yes.
Choose it. Make the choice. Stop negotiating with your success. Oh, I'm getting passionate here, gentlemen. But stop negotiating.
No, let's go.
It's done. Like, each dealer, each human, I mean, whether it's business or life, you don't get to have the life you want and really, truly desire if you don't live in the now and stop negotiating with your future.
Yeah.
And that's all we're doing. In business or in life. And I know, you know, people are thinking of their own life right now. They're thinking of the thing that's weighing heavy on them that they're like, oh, I have to change this. I know I have to change this, but I do nothing about it. Same with customer experience.
So yeah. And if you do all these things that you're encouraging people to do, to apply, right? Mm-hmm. Look at the experience differently. Social media, whatever it is, all these things add up. Instead of finding sales, you're going to create sales.
Yes.
Because the influence is going to go and it's going to exponentially bring you compound returns, but you have to do it. To your point, you can't make, you have to do it. I should go on camera. Yeah, just turn it on. Just, it's right there. We're all on it. Direct mail is not working in so much anymore, okay? The coupon in the mailbox is not going to work, right? get on your phone and do something. I'm just curious, you know, what brands are you loyal to? Like, again, any brand, not necessarily automotive. And how did they attain their loyalty?
I'm not loyal to any automotive brand, so I can tell you that.
Good. Good answer. Outside of automotive, who are you loyal
to? Outside of automotive, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So I am loyal to Starbucks. And I'm loyal to Starbucks because no matter where I am in the world, it's consistent. But I'm also loyal to my local Starbucks. Like, it's like Cheers. And I've been going to that Starbucks since I, you know, my babies were babies. You know, I have 14-year-old twins and an 11-year-old, I like to call her. She's more a teenager than my teenagers are teenagers. But we've been going to that Starbucks since they were 3-4 years old. Aww. And now my daughter, you know, and my son, after high, like after school, they're in high school, they go there. They won't go anywhere else. And they know them by name and they feel special, even though I'm not there. You know, they have access to my app, which, you know, costs me a fortune. However, they feel special and they know they're going to get that treatment. So they'll go further to go where they need to go, go out of the way because of the way they make them feel. Sure. Now, if we look at the female consumer, and I'm just going to bring it full circle, I brought them there when they were babies. And now not only do I spend my money there, they spend my money there.
Yep. No, that tracks my
and
little
kids. And they bring their friends with them because that's where they want to go.
That's right. And what a great business model Starbucks. I mean, it's coffee, right? But that's what they created, was an engaging experience that made you feel differently, especially when they first came out, right?
Yeah. What else am I loyal to? I mean, I am loyal to Christian Louboutin. Okay. For shoes. I'm super sure. loyal to them. I was loyal. I'm going to tell you this story. I was loyal to Louis Vuitton. And okay. most recently, I was in Louisiana for a client, and I was attending a gala for their nonprofit, Giving Hope. And I was out there, and I had just achieved a milestone for my business. And so whenever I achieve a milestone, I go purchase a Louis Vuitton item. Well, I went in yoga gear, hair up in a messy bun, no makeup on, just hit the gym. And I got put on the wait list. And I waited. And I waited. Nobody talked to me. Nobody, you know, made sure I was okay. Nobody offered me a water for the amount of money I was going to spend. I should have been offered a glass of champagne. You know, nobody. And I saw other customers being served. So here I'm being left alone. And in my head, I'm making up these stories, right? They're profiling me. They don't think I have money to spend. It's much like I had the experience in the automotive space with me walking mm-hmm. and being asked if, you know, somebody asked me if my grandpa was coming, because I went down the list of no husband, no dad, your grandpa. I'm like, no. But back to Louis Vuitton, I ended up walking out and I didn't purchase. And that's the first time I haven't rewarded myself with a piece of Louis Vuitton. And that was my celebratory purchase. Like when I hit major milestones, that's what makes me feel good. Instead, I went and donated that money to Giving Hope. So it went to a way better place.
Good.
Now, I don't know that I'll ever shop there again.
Well, I was going to say, did you get to the bottom of why?
No, I didn't. I just walked out. And that's the same for your customers. They're never going to get to the bottom of it because that's it. I mean, I can go, if I really love designer purses, I can give Chanel a chance. I can give Hermes a chance. I can give Versace a chance. I can give Gucci a chance. I can go give any of these brands who have similar price tagged purses an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they lost my money and they lost my loyalty.
And you've associated this experience with it forever now, right? Like
forever. And I've told this story so many times now. And women are the original social media.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean the original social media? What
you think about, like, way back in the day, uh-huh. when husbands went to work, women stayed home, women made all the decisions of everything that's in the house. And about midday when they're done doing their thing, and you can just picture it, they all walk outside the backyard with a glass of iced tea or lemonade, and you have the white picket fence. And they're talking to each other over the fence. They're talking to the other person about what they did. How did the hair salon treat them? What product they bought that they're trying now? What makeup they're using? Mm-hmm. Conversations are the glue that hold women together. And we talk about everything at a great length if you let us. So when we say women are the original social media, we have spread the word on products. Our influence has always been there. Yeah. But now we have the World Wide Web and the megaphone called social media.
Yep. Yep. And the ability for all of us to build communities and not just, you know, I trust this community, you know, this. It's almost like the old, again, I'm going to date myself because that's what I do. And I got bright white hair. So why not? You know, you would go to Blockbuster Video and you'd be like, well, I like that employee's recommendations. I'm going to stick with that guy. It's not that much farther. Eric, do you have any brands or loyalty, sir? You're loyal that you're like, that's the brand. That's it.
I have a whole bunch of brands that I don't necessarily think we could talk about on.
Okay, fair enough. And
that's, we'll because talk of about my very Texan way of life that I'm very staunchly loyal to. You guys can figure out what that means. Mm-hmm. Work safe ones. I'm fiercely loyal to Xbox.
And really?
I have been.
Okay.
I've never been, like, ever since the first Xbox came out, I have been, I think maybe part of it is I have a 1,500 game collection on their cloud platform now. So it's tough for me to say, hey, kids, let's go buy a new console. And then we got to rebuy all those games. Yeah, I've been fiercely loyal to Xbox since they came out. So,
listen, when I was dreaming up this podcast episode, that's what I was hoping we'd get to when we had Katie Maris on. You're like, can we get Xbox in there? Is that possible? Can we wedge that in?
That was okay. So you
for you viewers, we nailed it.
Are you going to go buy it? Are you going to go buy some YSL? Is that going to be your sell story?
No. I'm by the way, my brand that I'm fiercely loyal to is customer experience 101 is Disney. Don't care. I'll spend more to stay at their parks.
I've got to tell you this. My sister is going on an 8-day trip over Christmas, over New Year's with her two kids under 5. They're doing 4 days at Disney and 4 days on a cruise. They are spending $40,000. $40,000. I'm like, how many YSL bags can I? But they're spending all this money and they're buying all the ears and all the things in the past. Yep. She even bought Lululemon has Disney gear. Mm-hmm. She's gotten all the Lululemon Disney gear.
No.
It's insane. She's as fiercely loyal.
going back to something you said, putting putting yourself in the customer's shoes or whatnot.
Sure.
They do things. I've been going there for years, Katie Maris. And we were there last time. And I said to my wife, I said, how have I never figured this out before? Why are we in Florida in the middle of the summer and we never get a mosquito bite at Disney? We don't even know they exist. They're not here. So I looked it up. The way they plant, everything they do is to deter mosquitoes. So they're looking at it from in ways that other people just don't. So
they're just super intentional.
Yes.
They're intentional and they act on their intention. I'm a Disney Institute graduate, so I've been behind the scenes and learned everything that they do and how and why they do it. And it's just incredible the amount of intentionality that they have. And their training is off the charts and they hire based off of the experience, not based off of delivering a number, because they are so smart in knowing that if you create the experience, the money comes. If you focus on money, the experience lacks. But you will always make the money if you focus on what's right for the customer. Always.
Yeah, for sure. Katie, I want to give you the opportunity. I want to be intentional with this particular question and commentary. You have a second book coming out. It's called More Women, More Money. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So it's sort of like a follow-up to Custom Her Experience. But I am focusing on the internal customer, the female. So it's More Women, More Money, Her Journey, Your Success. And I essentially, in the first half of the book, I very black and white paint a picture statistically of how women will bring more money to your top line revenue. So I paint the case. Nobody will argue with it. The second half of the book is focused on how you can create an employee journey that she wants to be a part of. And it starts right from attraction, right from, when you're recruiting, all the way through to separation. And I actually take that journey map an average journey map of a typical journey map, I should say, of an employee of an employee. And I break down potential failures, like how you can screw up. I look at the transactional standards, the things that have to happen. Then I look at the feel good moments. How do we go from transaction to interaction and make her feel good? And then how do we deliver that plus one? And I do that for each touch point in the customer journey. So if you want to know how to attract, hire, and retain your female internal consumers, then you got to read this book.
So we got the first book, Customer Experience. Get that now. Go to Amazon right now. Get it. Come on, make it happen. Read it. You'll learn some more stuff. This is more in depth than what we talked about here for obvious reasons. And then go get the second book. When can they get the second book, Katie Maris?
So the second book, I'm actually previewing it at NADA, which is really cool. So I've been invited to speak, so I'll be there. My title of my talk is More Women, More Money. And then I am actually there. Scala is hosting a book launch party for me. I'm giving away about 200 advanced readers copies. So it's not even going to be available online. So if you come to the party, you'll get a copy signed. I'm going to do a little reading. And I also have a huge announcement that I'll be making at that party. So that's going to be happening. And it should be published by February 14th, which is the same day I publish Customer Experience.
Look at that. The brand loyalty experience right there coming into play. That is so exciting. Well, certainly we want to see you at NADA.
Yeah.
Stop by. We're going to do the reading. So again, for those of you, Eric put it in the chat. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, Custom Her Experience available now. And then February 14th, obviously More Women, More Money. And then we have a big announcement coming from Katie Maris again.
Yes.
So, and of course, katiemaris.com. I personally enjoy the blog. I've read almost all of them.
Oh, cool.
I'm not, me and my wife, I'm like, come here, check this out.
That's awesome.
Any other questions, Eric, before we close out on this amazing interview with Katie? Anything else you feel you want to cover here?
No, what are you actually, two-part question. What are you most grateful that you were able to accomplish in 2024? And then what are you most looking forward to accomplishing in 2025? Outside of the major announcement.
Oh, gosh. That's a big one. So I would say my biggest accomplishment was going from surviving to thriving. If anybody knows my story, you know exactly why I'm saying that. And to be able to pick myself up and be somebody my children can be proud of.
Yep.
That is my biggest accomplishment in 2024. And what am I looking forward to most in 2025? Just continuing spreading positivity and helping women thrive. I have a nonprofit that is going to have a huge launch in mid-year of 2025, where we will help survivors of domestic abuse find housing. 98% of women that are abused are financially abused, and it's one of the biggest reasons that they stay put. So my goal is to help women go from surviving to thriving. So that is one of my biggest goals in 2025.
Amazing.
As I was going to say, as I said at the beginning, amazing and inspiring, no hyperbole. Nope. Katie, can't thank you enough for talking to us for this time. It's very, very generous.
My pleasure. My honor. I told you that 100 times and I mean it. I believe in being completely humble, in life. I don't know what anybody's religious, faith-based is. It could be universe, it could be God, but for me it's God, and I thank God every day that humans like yourself even think they want to have a conversation with me. So I'm super grateful. Thank you for being a platform where we get to spread this message. It's truly my honor.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Katie. For those of you who are listening to the audio version of this, of course, you can do the requisite like, share, subscribe. It helps us out. We're going to bring you more conversations and hopefully more, as I said at the beginning, amazing and inspiring humans. That's the new phrase for the podcast. Thanks, everyone. We will see you on up the road.